Hello, everybody. Welcome to Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters, and doing something a little bit different here starting today, which is to actually see if I can competently pre-record some of these programs here. So excuse me if I pull a glitch or two, but I'm doing my best here under new circumstances. I've actually missed the last couple of programs for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is my teaching in the Harvard Summer School and grading exams and always seemingly having a lot of teaching responsibilities and exam grading responsibilities and more. So anyway, but I turned in my grades this past Thursday, I believe it was Thursday, and I got a few weeks here before the fall semester begins. Actually, come this fall, I'll have a As of today, I think I have, what is it, 149 students in the one, excuse me, I think it's 159 students in the multivariable calculus course and 19 in the differential equations course. So anyway, that's coming up soon, but I have a little bit of freedom here. Of course, freedom is kind of relative because, as many of you know, I'm also a city council candidate, and that involves a lot of responsibilities as well. Not saying that I've actually done a whole lot so far, but traditionally the political campaigns and all the blossoming of the yard signs and whatever usually commences approximately around Labor Day, though there are certainly plenty of candidates, especially the new candidates and the challengers, actually some incumbents as well, who are making the rounds, passing around hand cards, literature, door knockers, the little door hangers, I think they call them, and doing things like that. So I've done just a little bit of that sort of thing myself, but we'll see what happens as time goes on. So I think I thought maybe it would be appropriate to begin by talking a little bit about the political campaign, and not mine, of course. I mean, that's another matter here, but just to speak a little bit of it. Actually, before I do that, let me say a few other things here that I think are important and timely. First one is that one of the events that I go to every year is the old time baseball game, which is happening up at St. Peter's Field tomorrow. That's Wednesday, August 20th at 7 o'clock. Generally orchestrated by Herald writer, sports writer, and Cambridge-born Steve Buckley, with play-by-play offered by the one and only Glenn Kuchar. Unless it rains, that should be happening at 7 o'clock tomorrow at St. Peter's Field. It's a real reunion of a lot of people, so it's always a great time. Of course, if it rains, it will be delayed one day till Thursday, August 21st. On a sad note, I just want to say I learned on at the Cambridge Jazz Festival on July 27th, I learned from a neighbor of Tom Lehrer, who is both a mathematician like me, but also a very famous and tremendously important songwriter and satirist, that he had actually been found dead at his home on Spark Street. Either the day before, I think they discovered him the day before. It was really sad. I mean, I've always loved Tom Lehrer songs, and honestly, to this day, I still have them running through my head ever since he passed on. So anyway, that was pretty heartbreaking, actually. Another person who recently passed away was a longtime member of the Cambridge Historical Commission. And just an all-around really great, great person was Bill King. Bill had, I think his wife had taken ill, and he had moved away, not too far away, out into, I believe, Needham. And he passed away on July 22nd at the ripe old age of 93. As I say, what a really, really great guy all around. And in a much more present day, I saw something in the news yesterday. I don't know how many people know about it, but amongst our local the folks who are very involved in civic affairs, I know Robert Camacho and his wife Lisa Camacho, and I saw a very sad note that up in Maine, in Lewiston, Maine, a reckless driver apparently jumped a curb, and Lisa Camacho was killed, which is really heartbreaking when it's involved people who I'm not going to say I knew her well or anything, but these are people who you come across, in week to week, month to month in Cambridge civic affairs, and it's just horrifying to think that somebody should be taken away in that particular manner. Now, switching gears a little bit, like talk a little bit about the elections. So not again, not as speaking so much as a candidate, but just as a observer slash reporter, I guess in my wearing the hat of the editor of the Cambridge Civic Journal primarily. So every 2 years when we have the municipal elections for both city council and for school committee, I, as amongst other things, I keep track of who pulls nomination papers, who completes the nomination paper process, and actually makes it to the ballot. So just to especially since we haven't done a program here since I believe it was July 1st, right? So when this whole, or very early July when this whole process had really begun. So we actually had 28 people pull nomination papers for the Cambridge City Council, though only 19 made it to the finish line for a number of reasons. Some folks, like Scott Hannon, had pulled papers but never submitted any papers. There were other several other candidates who pulled nomination papers for both school committee as well as city council, and then cho two of them chose not to file for city council, but only for school committee. Actually, one of them, Caitlin Dew, did get approved to be put on the ballot for city council, but then opted out before the deadline for withdrawal to run only for school committee. There was the one candidate, sort of like the France Pierre of 2 years ago and 4 years ago, will be on the ballot for both city council and school committee, and that person would be Laqueen Battle or Laqueen Arlene Battle. Not so sure that that's strategically a very good thing to do. I think people won't necessarily take you seriously if you're just seem to be running for the sake of running. But anyway, that's how it goes. There are a number of people who pulled papers that just didn't even turn them in for city council. As I say, there were 28 people who pulled papers, and only 19 actually completed the process. Really 20, but one opted out. So among some of the people who actually made it onto the ballot is Denise Simmons, Kathy Zuzi, Sumbul Siddiqui, Dana Bullister, Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, my friend Nicola Cauchy, who is experiencing some health issues, chose not to be a candidate, which I regret because he's a really great guy, but he did not do it. John Hanratty's will be on the ballot again. Aisha Wilson, Mark McGovern, myself, Ned Melanson, who's affiliated with the ABC Group, Zion Sharon, Patricia Nolan, Berhan Azim, Aya Alzubi, Peter Hsu, Tim Flaherty, Stanislav Rifkin, Elizabeth Bizio. Again, is also Laqueen Battle pulled papers and will be on that ballot. Several other people, Louise Vendon perhaps is noteworthy in that she was given two opportunities to submit nomination papers, messed up the headers and things that are required, so that basically so that people who are signing your nomination papers know who you are. And so they're not signing papers for somebody else, and also for what office you are seeking, as well as when that election should be, namely November 4th. So anyway, two tries, but failed on the last day, did not do it correctly. So will not be on the ballot, but has indicated that she will be running as write-in candidate. I will add her to the candidate back to the candidate pages by the end of the month, and several others. Abra Berkowitz was another person who went to submit signatures, but only pulled them the day before the deadline. When arriving there to submit them, had not done the headers, was not allowed on the ballot, and gave quite a few dog ate my homework type excuses, claiming disability and more, which is really kind of pathetic, quite honestly. But so she will not be on the ballot as a result of that. On the school committee, things are actually a lot more interesting. There were 18 people who pulled nomination papers. All 18 qualified for the ballot, got their insufficient signatures, the minimum 50 signatures. So again, I'm just going to run through chronologically by when they pulled papers. Jane Hershey, who I knew originally from the basically compost, when I delivered compost bins for the early days of the City Sprouts program, which was kind of an environmental initiative that was taking place within the Cambridge Public Schools. Is David Weinstein, Ann Coburn, Jiajing Li, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Richard Harding, Carolyn Hunter, who, by the way, had submitted papers, but then had to redo it in, but was able to successfully turn in papers with plenty of time to spare. Gentleman named Arjun Jayakumar, again, po my apologies if I'm mispronouncing, will be running for school committee. Jessica Getz, or I think it's pronounced Getz, I'm not 100% sure of that either. Melanie Gauss, or Gauss. Laqueen Battle, as I mentioned earlier, Caitlin Dube, Elizabeth Hudson, well, once again, she was actually the, I believe she may have been the top vote getter last time around as a brand new candidate. I expect she should do well again. Somebody named Lily Havstad, who I have not met. She's actually the one person for whom I do not yet have a photo in the candidate pages. Eugenia Shrahu, and again, I think that's the correct pronunciation. Who ran 2 years ago, did well, but was not elected. Jose Luis Rojas Villarreal, Alex Bowers or Alexandra Bowers, Luisa de Paula Santos, and Alborz Bejnud, who also ran 2 years ago, and showed up the day before the deadline and managed to submit papers. Again, I do keep track of how many signatures are done and turned are turned in and whether they're successful or not. Anyway, that's not necessarily worth emphasizing. So in the end, the lineup for both city council and school committee is pretty much set. Again, I will not necessarily read all of these. Feel free to gaze upon them if you wish. Then alphabetically, it is probably worth noting that only for, I think it's the when you do absentee ballots, do you get them necessarily purely alphabetically from A through Z? What we generally do, not generally, we, by law we do, is we do what we call the barrel roll, which is that for general circulation ballots, the there should be approximately an equal number of them should have each of the candidates at the top, and then you just follow cyclic alphabetically. So I, for example, should appear on approximately one out of 19 ballots, except for the ones that are done by absentee ballot. And I'm not actually sure what's done with the now no excuse absentee ballot, also known as when you do early voting. Again, that maybe those are all straight alphabetical A through Z. I'm not really quite sure. As I say, there are 18, so 19 for city council, 18 for school committee. Again, you may gaze upon them if you wish. I do want to again mention that Louise Vendon will be a write-in candidate, so will not appear on the ballot. Presumably there will be either stickers distributed or some other way of encouraging people to physically write in on the ballot, come November 4th, or in early voting, which actually will commence a couple of weeks earlier than that. Actually, early voting via mail will commence perhaps several weeks. I should know the date off the top of my head, but I don't remember it. And then there's also the in-person voting at several satellite locations around the city. So anyway, there's plenty of time before this happens. We're still about 2.5 months away. And again, traditionally, what we'll typically see is things will really, really pick up around the time of Labor Day. I'm going to just do a quick flash here of, I do maintain the Cambridge Candidate pages and have been doing so for over 20 years now. And as I do like to point out to people, if it bothers you that I'm a city council candidate myself, and I'm also maintaining the candidate pages, well, tough luck. I've been doing this for a long, long time, and I hope to continue it for a long, long time to come, regardless of any status I may have as a candidate. And I assure you, each and every one of you, that I do not edit content whatsoever. The only thing I ever put up on the Cambridge candidate pages is precisely what the candidates send to me. I mean, and the only time I might do editing would be either for spelling, punctuation, or maybe slight reformatting when it's practical or necessary. I suppose I reserve the right if somebody puts out something which is horribly offensive and untrue or slanderous or whatever, that I might contact the candidate and say, please, no, thank you very much. But that really doesn't happen as a rule. I mean, for the most part, maybe because of the nature of ranked choice voting and proportional representation elections, getting number two votes, number one, number three votes, et cetera, is important. So it's not, generally speaking, a very good idea to be hostile when dealing with your fellow candidates. In fact, actually, it's a long-standing tradition, and I've participated in this myself, if you actually show up for some of the other candidates' events, not so much to upstage them, you would never want to do that, but to basically to say, yes, I consider myself to be friendly with and affiliated with this candidate. So if you want to give them a number one a ranking, consider me for number two, number three, or what have you. So again, that's a long-standing tradition, especially amongst candidates that are who are on a shared candidate slate, which is again another phenomenon we typically do around Cambridge. So, anyway, here they are: for Aya Alzubi, Burhan Azim, Laqueen Battle, Elizabeth Bizio. By the way, some of these names may appear slightly different with either with or without middle names or middle initials, depending on what they agree to when they're all been alerted to how their name is currently set to appear on the ballot. And there is a little bit of, you can change how you're listed in the registered voter list. And so there may be some change before everything is completely settled. But so there's Dana Bullister, also, I think, is listing herself as Dana Ray Bullister this year. Tim Flaherty, which will be, I think, Timothy something Flaherty. John Hanratty, Peter Hsu, Mark McGovern, Ned Mallinson, Patricia Nolan, Stanislav Rifkin, Zion Sharon, who is, I think as of today, he's listed perhaps as Zion Nathaniel Sharon, Sumbul Siddiqui, E. Denise Simmons, Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler, Aisha Wilson, myself, Robert Winters, and Catherine Zusi, who of course everybody calls Kathy Zusi, but on the ballot she will be listed as Catherine Zusi. On the school committee side, Laqueen Battle, Alborz Bejnoud, Alex Bowers, who's listed at least in the voter registration, this is Alexandra Bowers, Ann Coburn, Louisa DePaula Santos, Caitlin Dube, Melanie Gauss, Jessica Getz, again, my apologies if I'm mispronouncing any names, Richard Harding, Lily Havstead, Jane Hershey, Elizabeth Hudson, Carolyn Hunter, Arjun Jayakumar, Jiajing Li, Jose Luis Rojas Villarreal, Eugenia Shaw Hu, and David Weinstein. And the only picture I don't have is Lily Havstead. If you click on any one of these pictures or the names, it will take you to a separate candidate page. Again, just for no particular reason, I will go to mine, which is about to get changed. I really do have to do some serious editing, but you'll go there and you'll see a little bit more detail about, the usual stuff. Again, I've been told that I have far too much stuff on my own personal candidate page and I need to simplify it. And I agree completely. So, again, that's on my wish list of things to do in the next few weeks. So we'll see how that shakes out. So anyway, that's those are the candidate pages. So let me just step aside to, again, as I often say, like to prove my existence here. Now, some candidates are just getting started in terms of raising money or spending money. Some have been actually doing it. I think Peter Hsu was the first one I saw of the challengers who actually piled a bunch of money into his campaign account and started sending out mailings and things actually as early as last December or January. The incumbents, the way I keep track, and I'll go back to that in a second. The way I typically keep track of campaign receipts and expenditures is that I view everything on a full 2-year election cycle. So in other words, and I used to do it for some good reason. I would start the clock at February 1st. I just decided to simplify it and go from January 1st, 2024 until present, and then I will terminate the counting at the end of the year, even though the truth is that there are still some bills that will be paid, even after the year is over. Again, I'm just going to chuck, break it into a 2-year period, perhaps arbitrarily. So if you want to get a good accurate count, make sure you take care of all the candidates. Please make sure you take care of all your accounting by the end of the year so we can actually get a good clean count of it all. Incumbents, at least let me say a few things about incumbents here is that some of them are actually active in fundraising and spending money in large amounts for the entire 2-year cycle, which kind of makes it tough for challengers to sort of get a leg up on anyone, and incumbents also are the ones who almost exclusively are the recipients of very, very, very large donations from organized unions. And now let me just say one thing about unions. I could go on about this, is that rank and file membership of unions, I don't believe, have much of any say in where the money goes, toward which candidates the union money goes. It tends to be in the control of a few specific individuals. I could name names here, but I will not, who tend to know some of these candidates personally. So it's kind of a sneaky way in which incumbents almost exclusively get, many, many, many thousands of dollars worth of support that is not generally available to challengers. Yet another way in which incumbency is sort of stacked. I mean, elections are really stacked in favor of incumbents. And again, I'm not just saying that as a challenger here, but I'm just pointing out the reality of the way things really are. So I think what I'm going to do is it's just going to pop back over here to some of the campaign finance related matters here. And again, this may seem a little small. I don't know how visible, hopefully, all of this will be. There are a couple of ways of keeping track, one of which is relatively easy and one of but is oftentimes a little bit out of date as soon as you put it up. And then another which is more current, but which is also takes more time. So it's really kind of something I'm trying not to do as much. So what I list here is the war chests. Or this is just for city council candidates, because school committee candidates only have to report a couple of weeks before or 8 days before the election and at the end of the year. So it's much more difficult to understand how the financing is going for school committee candidates. But then again, most of the attention tends to be on the city council candidates anyway. So I guess that's just the way things are. So in terms of the war chests, or as I like to call it, the war chests. And again, some of these dates, I do have the dates of when the latest figures are reported. But I include both the political action committees like Cambridge Bike Safety Group, the A Better Cambridge political action, I should say technically the Independent Expenditure Political Action Committee, but come on, let's get serious. It's ABC. The Cambridge Residents Alliance has their own political action committee. There's a group called that was around 2 years ago who may or may not play a role this year called the Cambridge Voters for Good Government PAC, the Cambridge Citizens Coalition Independent Expenditure PAC, and then the Our Revolution PAC, which is really kind of a bit of a afterthought these days, it seems, but more on that later. Anyway, in terms of available money right now, the Cambridge Bike Safety Political Action Committee is really the kind of the elephant in the room. They raise a lot of money. Again, I could perhaps I'll just sort of say if you are if your organization consists of a lot of healthy young professionals who are working in high-tech jobs in Kendall Square and you think you own the city, then I guess you can raise a lot of money really fast to swamp any of the, longtime residents who aren't really going to necessarily form a political action committee to oppose bike safety, right? So it's kind of one-sided. But they've got another $12,000 to burn, and I know darn well that they're going to raise themselves probably many, like at least another $10,000 or $20,000 in order to influence the election this year. Then there, as I say, there's the other ones. Now, in terms of the actual candidates, there's again, and this is already outdated. I'll more on that in a moment. But as of the early August, it was Mark McGovern had the most money in the bank, followed by brand new candidate Tim Flaherty, who had put in over 24,000, who is now in the lead at over 40,000. And then it's and again generally either sort of organizational. How do we say this, Betts? But either incumbents or candidates who are easily identified with movements or organizations. So you'll see here names like McGovern, Tim Flaherty, sort of a new one, who's sort of a heavy hitter who had run for state senate once before. Siddiqui, Sabrina Wheeler, Aya Alzubi, who was a candidate 2 years ago, who is probably easily identifiable as the most extreme left-wing candidate in the whole bunch, so that will draw attention and dollars. Then Kathy Zusi, Aisha Wilson, new candidate Mallinson, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some of the newer candidates haven't raised a lot of money or hadn't raised a lot of money as of early August, but no doubt will soon enough. And again, I hope the font here is sufficient to be viewable here, but as of mid, really, as of like what, 5 days ago, and even these numbers have changed in terms of total receipts. Tim Flaherty is now in the lead with over almost 41,000. I think he's actually got more than that now. And then $12,000 later, it comes Mark McGovern, Burhan Azim, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting to look at what percentage of the contributions come from Cambridge sources and which come from outside. I don't think it's particularly telling just yet because the totals for most of these candidates are still not as big as they're going to get eventually. But there are some candidates for whom a lot of their money comes from out of town. I mean, Tim Flaherty's reason why he has 39% from Cambridge is partly because a lot of his money came is for like a big chunk of it from some union money and from elsewhere. But again, those numbers will change as time goes on here. In terms of percentage coming or how much came from unions, again, I think it's just sort of worth looking at here, but I'm not going to focus on it particularly much because some of that is going to change in time. Expenditures is interesting only in that it's really more of an indication right now of how much money some of the incumbents have been spending over the last 2 years. When they really get down to the election campaign of this year, These numbers are going to for excuse me for expenditures are actually going to leap. So Burhan Azim has been spending money like there's no tomorrow, raising money and spending money. Has already spent over $35,000 over the last couple of year and a half, and will no doubt, because I think he probably, I think he somebody said he actually put out a word saying he's trying to raise $50,000 this year. So you know, there's a kid who thinks he's going places. So 35,000 plus from him. McGovern has been spending money all year round, as has Denise Simmons and Sumbul Siddiqui, and then the numbers trail off somewhat from there. Again, if you wanted to see some of the particular unions that are responsible for a lot of the donations, those are listed here, and which candidates have been the chief recipients of this union money. McGovern, Simmons, Flaherty topping off the list here. So I'm going to just step away from that here, and maybe take a just a little breather here, and then I'll come back. Talk a little bit about factions and some of else what's been happening around town. So, one second.